Gopi jana balava giri baritare. Gopi jana balava giri baritare. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Chaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Chaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Gopi Jana Balava Giri Baratare Gopi jana balava giri baratare Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Nitai Ga, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivrajik, Jai Nastana, Sadashishmada, Sadangres. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON's founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Gurantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Sri Sri Panchatattva ki, Sri Sri Natai Gora Hari ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Go Premanandi. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to the Desamo devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I wonder, at least the men maybe should move forward a little. Just there are more people coming in and might need the space. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Right, so today we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we'll read from chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. Text 30. Apichet sudara charo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadur eva samantavya samyagvya vasato hisa. Translation. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly, because he is properly situated in his determination. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a little longer purport than usual, so try and concentrate and Listen carefully. It's very interesting and very important. The word sudurachara used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional, and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body, or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with the conditional life. And such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity, who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord, has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they're technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable, socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For, as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course, as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words Sadur Eva, he is saintly, are very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. In the Nrisinga Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati chaharavananya cheta Risha malino pivira jeta manushya nahi shasha kalusha chabi kada chit tamira para bhavatam upaiti chandra. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities,
These activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he's no longer subjected to such fall downs, as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Abhichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyadvya vasatohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly, because he is properly situated in his determination. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuramilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svabhadantikam vanchakalpacharubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so this verse is very important because it explains how merciful this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead really is. Unlike other processes for elevation, even spiritual elevation, but unlike them, devotional service has the potency to correct someone and protect someone, even if they get into some even severely compromised position. Here, Lord Krishna uses the word, Sanskrit word, sudur achar. This is a very strong statement, strong word. Achar, we are familiar, most of us, many of us would be familiar with the word acharya. Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is known as the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Acharya means teacher, but not just teacher. He teaches by his activities. His activities, his life's activities, are demonstrations of the teachings themselves. In other words, it's not just a matter of reading a book, but you can actually see how it works and see what results come when a person does actually apply all these things very nicely. So, to teach by example, in fact, generally we accept that that is a more important way of teaching than simply by speaking some words which we may not be living up to ourselves. such words will not have so much effect as the activities and the teaching in the form of the activities of the Acharya. And also his words, just his words also, are much more effective than the words of someone who's trying to teach, but they're not following or maintaining that standard themselves. So achar then means activities. But the word here is sudur achar. Dur means bad or something bad, remote, distant, you know, like difficult, like that. Our devotee, you may know, Dina Bandhu Prabhu from Vrindavan, he's been here. He's there in Vrindavan, or Vrindaban, as it's often called. So he tells the people that Durban, 600 kilometers to the south, that is a very distant forest of Vrindavan. Bun meaning forest. Durban. Very difficult to get there. It's very distant. It's very hard. Yeah, Durban. Yes, anyway. So, Dur Achar means very bad activity. Something wrong. And Su, just like we have our devotee, I assume she's here somewhere, Subhadra. Is she here? Oh, she's in the kitchen, okay. Well, that's good. Bhadra means auspicious, but Subhadra means very auspicious. So she's cooking today, so I think it'll be good for all of you. Subhadra, very auspicious. But there's also Abhadra. Hridyantaksto hi abhadrani. This process of devotional service removes all the Abhadra. Ah means not. Bhadra, auspicious. So sudur achar. This process of devotional service is so remarkable, so unique, that even if somehow you, anyone, any devotee, even if somehow you do something, su dur achar, not just bad activity, dur achar, but su dur achar, very bad, then, as long as you remain engaged in devotional service with determination and you don't just, you know, having that momentary lapse or somehow or other momentarily making some mistake, something of that sort. But if you correct yourself and continue on to the best of your ability, in all sincerity, then you'll be protected, you'll be delivered very quickly. That is the nature of devotional service. It can do that. But otherwise, if you're involved in some other process, it doesn't work like that. It's not so easy. This process of devotional service is so merciful because Krishna is so merciful. Devotional service is the only system of yoga which is aimed specifically at Krishna. So Krishna is so merciful that even if you somehow or other accidentally get involved in something you shouldn't, but if you still stick at your devotional service and you don't go off completely just into some other program of just freely engaging in sinful activity, but you actually try to come back to the correct standard, then Krishna says, sadur eva, that person, that devotee, despite that momentary lapse, temporary fall down from the proper standard, but still that devotee can be considered saintly. Sadur eva. Sadhu means a saint. Eva. Eva is a word of emphasis. It means like definitely. It's very emphatic, actually. Sad or Eva. They're definitely to be considered saintly. Even though some problem arose, even some bad problem, some serious problem arose momentarily in the short term, but then the devotee corrected himself. Yes, so that is the nature of devotional service. It's very wonderful. Here, Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by explaining that in our lives, there is a conditional aspect, that is things to do with the body particularly, and things to do with the external material world, following the laws of everyday society and so on. But then there are activities. There's another aspect of our life which is considered constitutional. That means activities and things within our lives which are to do with our eternal natures as eternal spirit souls. Aham Brahmasmi, I am an eternal living entity. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. The constitutional nature, eternal, intrinsic nature of the soul, of the living entity, is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So that is the constitutional side. Whereas there's also the conditional side. We have these bodies, they need to eat and sleep and so on and so forth. And that is all very much bodily, very much to do with this world. So therefore it's called conditional. Sometimes, Prabhupada says, sometimes those conditional activities to do with the body and the laws of the country and whatnot, and those constitutional activities to do with the nature of the soul and the soul's relationship with Krishna, sometimes they will parallel one another and they will not clash, but they will coexist very nicely. That is not impossible. Like, for example, for the body we have to eat. So in Krishna consciousness, we eat prasadam. So that's very nice. If you eat prasadam, then your conditional, that particular aspect of your conditional nature and that particular aspect of the constitutional nature are paralleling one another very nicely in complete harmony. Yes, but sometimes they may clash. Instead of eating prasadam, you may decide to eat something else. Something which isn't prasadam or couldn't be prasadam, couldn't become prasadam, meat, fish, eggs, and so on, that type of thing. So now there's a clash between the conditional nature and constitutional nature. Similarly, in Krishna conscious life, many or most devotees marry according to conditional life for male and female to gravitate towards each other and to develop like a type of dependence on each other, which then becomes, you know, institutionalized or established officially in a married relationship like that. Conditionally, this is very normal. This is extremely normal. But in Krishna conscious life, there's the Grihastha Ashram. Married devotees in Krishna consciousness. And what to speak of married devotees? But even Krishna was married. Even Krishna was married. Lord Chaitanya was married. Srila Prabhupada was married. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so many great, great personalities, even the Supreme Lord himself, was married. So certainly, there can be this compatibility between the conditional need or inclination of the living entity and the constitutional nature of the soul. That is quite possible. Yes, Krishna was married. He married 16,108 wives. Don't gentlemen try to compete. Just stick with one. And the satisfaction and everything as it really should be. Just one wife, he's to be considered expert. Because it's not difficult. It's not easy. I don't know if that's because they may lack the qualification or the women may be too difficult to sort of, you know, finickety about things, but this is what they say. This is what Shastra says. Well, it's probably both, isn't it? Let's be even. But Krishna married 16,108 wives. So anyway, our point here though is that in this regard, to have a compatibility between the conditional life of bodily need, psychological need for the association of the opposite sex, and then the inner Krishna conscious situation to have a husband or a wife and family, that can be there. It's not a problem. But it can be a problem. If one doesn't follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, then there'll be so many problems. Yes. In a married relationship. And I was just in Finland, and every time I go there every 6 months or so. It's one of these more sort of quiet, I would say very quietly liberal places. Yeah, very liberal, but very quiet about it. They're not sort of loud like the Americans, you know. They're very quiet about it, but they're very liberal. So every time I go there, somehow or other it comes up about their laws regarding marriage, and it came up this time on Tuesday. Just on Tuesday, we did one hall program, and they mentioned that because the divorce rate is so high there, 65%, two-thirds of all marriages do not survive. Therefore, they have been for some time, it appears, considering changing the laws. And instead of having like a standard lifelong legal contract, now the idea is to have 5-year renewable contracts. And if it doesn't work out, or if you feel there are better prospects elsewhere or whatever, then no problem. You don't have to go through any embarrassing, lengthy, painful type of extraction process. Anyway. But our point, though, is that sometimes the conditional needs of ourselves within this world and our constitutional needs as devotees, sometimes they may parallel each other, but sometimes they may not. Like we are following the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So by doing that, we are sort of rejecting some things, or some urges at least, which on the conditional level, many people would regard as being very fundamental and very essential even, many people would say. I'm sure you've heard Srila Prabhupada mentioned on many occasions his godbrother's experience. Some of his contemporaries went to England in the 30s. They were trying to preach there. And they met one, Marcus of Zetland, one of the British nobility, who had been active in India, in the British government of India. And he knew something about the Indian culture and all these things. So this Marcus of Zetland, otherwise he was kind of a pompous Englishman, you know, member of the House of Lords and all that kind of snooty fellow. So this gentleman asked, can I become a Brahmin? Can I become a Brahmin? Brahmin means the highest level of Indian or Vedic society. Only highly qualified people, intellectuals, of very high character can become Brahmins. Yes. So he asked, can I become a Brahmin? And the devotee said, yes, of course, it's easy. First thing, just give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, and then we'll just take it from there. When you've done that, then we'll just take it from there. That's the beginning. The man was shocked. He said, oh, give up those things? I'd rather die. And sometimes when we tell people that we don't do those things, then they look almost in a mood of pity, like, you poor people, and ask, what do you do then? Do you do anything? In other words, aren't your lives rather dull and dry? But of course they're not. Yes, so by giving up these activities, yes, for devotees to be initiated, at least within ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's standard was that they must give up these things, all of these things, plus chant 16 rounds a day minimum, without fail, for a period of time, then they could be initiated. Otherwise, they would not be fit to be, they could not be fit. They could not be fit to be initiated. So the act of initiation would be just a failure if it was attempted, because the people are too much on the material platform. So it wouldn't work. Yes, so in devotional service then, because we don't do these four things, even though certain aspects of what we do are compatible with our conditional life, but some things may not be compatible always, therefore sometimes some problem may arise. It may arise. It doesn't have to, but it may arise. But devotional service is so powerful, so wonderful, that even if you get mixed up in something very bad, but still you manage to stick in your devotional service and you try to rectify yourself, then Krishna says, this person should be considered saintly. And in the next verse, Krishna says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvashchantim nagachati kanteya pratijanihi nami bhakta pranashyati. That he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Yes. Even though he got mixed up in something quite off the mark, but if he tries to stick at the process, he'll quickly become righteous and attain lasting peace. In other words, go back home, back to Godhead. So that is devotional service. But as we said, other processes don't work like that. Srila Prabhupada often would give the example of Vishvamitra Muni. Some of you may have heard of him. He figures in Ramayana and various other literatures, Vedic literatures. Vishvamitra Muni, he was doing another type of yoga. He was doing Ashtanga yoga, and particularly that part of Ashtanga yoga which we know as Hatha yoga. Hatha yoga, perhaps you've heard of, sitting in different positions and, you know, all different physical types of exercises. Standing on your head with your legs around your neck. Well, that's only when you get more advanced. But this is Hatha yoga. But Srila Prabhupada explained that Vishvamitra, he was doing this Hatha yoga for 60,000 years. And he had made a certain amount of advancement because he was quite serious, quite committed to it. However, one time, Indra, the king of heaven, the heavenly material planets, Indra became envious or suspicious, really, and paranoid, really, that this man is becoming so powerful through this yoga. He may become powerful enough to kick me out and take over my position. So he sent, Indra sent, one heavenly society girl, which, as we say, is a very nice way of saying prostitute. One heavenly prostitute to attract the mind of Vishvamitra Muni. So Vishvamitra was sitting with his eyes closed like this for 60,000 years. If you think it's easy sitting like this, I mean, what to speak of 60,000 years? You try sitting like this till this time tomorrow, and we'll come and check how you're doing. Or maybe 1 year, you know, 1 year, sit like this. But anyway, you try for 24 hours. He was sitting for 60,000 years with his eyes closed. So this girl came, and she was walking up and down trying to attract his attention. But his mind was fixed, more or less. However, even though his eyes were closed, but his ears were still hearing. So he heard the sound of her ankle bells as she was walking up and down. And yeah, he heard the sound of her ankle bells. And this completely broke his meditation. He came down completely to the material platform before he even opened his eyes and saw her. And when he opened his eyes and saw her, well, then it went from too bad to much too bad, and he became just like a totally ordinary, materialistic, married man. Totally ordinary, straight out of the Pick and Pay catalog, or, you know. Just Mr. Ordinary Suburbia. Really? From being a big yogi. Really? Just to some nobody in particular at all. And they had a child named Shakuntala who became famous also. And then after a while he realized, wait a minute, I was doing yoga. What happened? I was doing quite well at yoga. It was nice. But somehow I got mixed up in this whole scene. What happened? So he just got so bewildered, he forgot altogether what had happened. So then he left home, and this time, thinking that I'm going to be more careful this time, I'm going to watch out. So he decided to do his yoga underwater. So he did. He went underwater for 40,000 years. And still sitting there, eyes closed and so on. One day, though, underwater, somehow he opened his eyes and saw two fish mating. Not an extremely exciting sight, but it just, he lost it again. He just lost it. Gone. Onto the material platform. Totally. When I say onto the material platform, when he started again that time under the water, the second time, when he started again, he started from square one. It's not like he took a break for a few years and then he carried on from where he'd left off. No, no. He started from the beginning and had to just make his way up all over again. Anyway, third time lucky. Somehow later on he got into it again. He became successful. But in devotional service, it's not like that. It's not like that. Sometimes we give the example of Ajamil. Many of you would be familiar with that example. He's in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ajamil. He was not even a devotee. If he was a devotee, it was just only in the broadest sense possibly imaginable. But he was not practicing Krishna consciousness in the slightest. Not at all. Previously he had some connection with it in his youth. But then when he became an adult, he became totally degraded. Totally degraded. He was a villain, actually. And he did all the wrong things and totally absorbed in sinful life. Somehow he named his child, one of his children, Narayan. And just because it was a social custom, he named his child Narayan. So therefore, he was calling out, Narayan, come here, Narayan, come and eat, Narayan, come with me, where are you, Narayan? It was Narayan, Narayan, Narayan all day. So Narayan is a name of the Lord. He was getting benefit from that. It was not his intention. As, for example, many of you are committed to Krishna consciousness and very intentionally you're chanting the names of the Lord. So he was also chanting, but there was no intention of any spiritual nature at all. As far as he was concerned, he was simply calling his son. That's all. But he was getting benefit. So it is a long story, but eventually, and even as he was doing this, calling out Narayan and so on, he was continuing his program of robbery and violence and so on and so forth, like a terrible criminal, while still calling for his son Narayan. Finally he died, or he was in the process of dying, and the Yamadutas, the messengers of the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, they came to take him away. As far as they were concerned, they thought, we have a first-class candidate here. One-way ticket, first class, down. Yeah. But then the Vishnudutas, the servants of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, intercepted them and stopped them. No. This man chanted the name Narayan, a name of God. So you cannot take him. He must come with us to the Supreme Lord. So the Yamadutas said, no, there must be some mistake. This fellow was terrible. He was one of the very worst. So you must be mistaken. No, we're not mistaken. So he was delivered. And he was not even really a devotee at all. Here this verse is talking about a devotee who may somehow get involved in some wrong activity. But this Ajamil was hardly a devotee other than in the very broadest, most generous sense of the term. Like some devotees asked Lord Chaitanya, how do you recognize a devotee? Lord Chaitanya gave different answers to that question on different occasions. But that time, Lord Chaitanya said, any person who chants the name Krishna one time in his life is to be considered the best of the common men. In other words, you know, that's a very broad type of, you know, system for appreciating who's a devotee. So Ajamil, he was like that. He was off the scale altogether, actually. But somehow, devotional service is so powerful that he was delivered. Then, there's so many examples. Haridas Thakur, he was a great devotee. But one prostitute tried to deviate him. She came and said, you know, you're such a young, good-looking man, and I'd really like to enjoy with you. How is that okay? And he was very clever. He said, yeah, fine. Sounds great. So she thought, gee, didn't realize it was going to be that easy. But then he said, no problem, just wait till I finish my rounds. Now his rounds, he chanted 192 a day, and which takes 24 hours. So it was quite a clever plan he had. So he said, all right, you just wait. So she waited all night and fell asleep. By the time she woke up, she said, oh, have you finished your rounds? He said, yes, well, already started today's also, so you're going to have to wait again. He was very clever. So anyway, she sat and listened, and she became purified. And within a couple of days, she gave up the world. What to speak of giving up being a prostitute? She gave up everything and became a pure devotee, completely pure devotee, practically just like that, through his association. So whereas Vishvamitra, who's a very famous sage, whereas he just heard the ankle bells, but still he became totally bewildered just by that. But Haridas, she was trying by every means to attract his mind, but his Krishna consciousness was so strong that not only was she not able to attract him, but she became totally purified to the point of pure devotional service herself. That's very amazing. That's the nature of devotional service. Sometimes also, or Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion, he gives the example of the one very poor devotee. Very poor devotee. He really wanted to serve the Lord, have nice deities and worship them very beautifully, very opulently, with nice clothes and jewelry and paraphernalia, offer nice meals to them, do everything to a high standard. But he was penniless. He was penniless. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't even get deities. He didn't have a temple. So, one day he went to a nearby temple, and some devotee was giving class, and the devotee made the point that devotional service is so wonderful that even if you can't do it, but if you just think about it, you can get the same result. So this devotee thought, really? This is my chance. So then in his mind, he got into this whole program of deity worship. First of all, he constructed a magnificent temple in his mind. Then he installed these beautiful deities and worshipped them with all paraphernalia. Just amazing. And he was very happy. It was all happening in his mind. He was so happy. However, one day, a doubt just entered his mind. Is this real? Or am I just dreaming? Is it just, you know, hallucination, something? Nothing. Just some meaningless little thing going on in my head. Or what is this? But he carried on, all the same. He carried on. So one day he was in his meditation, he was cooking an offering, different foodstuffs to offer to the deity. And one thing he cooked was sweet rice, which you cook, but then you have to let it cool, and you offer it when it's cool. So he had already cooked it in his meditation, but he didn't know if it was cool yet. So he, with his finger, he touched the sweet rice in his meditation. His meditational sweet rice, with his meditational finger, he touched. And in his meditation, he found it was still hot. And his meditational finger got burnt, and he got a bit of a shock. So he got such a shock, actually, that his meditation broke. He just came back to external consciousness. Then he looked at his real finger, and he saw his finger was burnt. His real finger was burnt. So then he realized, it is real. It's not just some meaningless little daydream. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God, he was watching all this. And when he saw the devotee in his meditation burnt his finger, but then his real finger was burnt, then Lord Narayan, when he saw that, he laughed. He laughed. And he told some of his devotees, just go down and get him. Just bring him back. Just bring him here to Vaikuntha. It's okay. So they did. They took him and he went back to the kingdom of God in his self-same body. Yes. So, just see, devotional service is like that. Therefore, we should all be devotees. We should all be devotees. Practice devotional service. Try and take it seriously. Of course, we're all on different levels, and we don't expect everyone to just overnight become some first-class example. That's okay. But at least in terms of our circumstances and our natures and the situations we're in our lives, we should apply Krishna consciousness. That may take a little tailoring. It may take a little tailoring in terms of your specific situation and your particular nature. All these very personal considerations. Yeah, so that basic principle that we should engage in devotional service to Krishna, that principle we should all apply in our lives. And specifically how we do that in terms of our own unique positions, that can be tailored. That's all right. With the help of the devotees, like that, some particular program can be made for you as an individual. It's not impossible. In fact, it's not difficult at all. So let us do that. Let us do that. And then we'll see how everything becomes very wonderful. Very, very nice. If we practice Krishna consciousness nicely, we'll be very happy. Very, very happy. At the end of this life, we can go home back to Godhead very easily. That is the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. So thank you all for listening very patiently. I think we will forego the questions today, if you don't mind. Yeah, so we'll just carry on now. As we mentioned earlier, we're going to have our Vaishnav devotee prize giving, where we'll all get a chance to appreciate the services of the devotees in the marathon, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Very important service. Very important service. So we'll hear how the devotees did, and then we can express our appreciation. I'll hand over to His Grace Brihat Mridanga Prabhu. Hare Krishna. It looks like it may be simple. You take some books, you sell some books, you know, tell the people something, take some money. There you go, you sold some books. But it's not so simple, really. It's not so simple. It's a very deep thing. It's very deep. Because these books are very remarkable. They are... Well, you may have heard, we've mentioned before how, at one time, Srila Prabhupada, he felt that we should distribute deities, Gaunatai deities, small deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, just like the deity of Srila Prabhupada back there, perhaps, something like that size. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we should do like this, manufacture thousands of deities and go door to door and tell the people, it's just anybody, that these are the famous Hare Krishna dolls and you should keep them on your mantelpiece, you know, where you keep your various little decorative things in your living room. Keep them there in your living room on the mantelpiece, on the shelf, Hare Krishna dolls. And Prabhupada said this would be very good because the people, you know, every day they would see, oh, there's my Hare Krishna dolls, right? So this would help them become Krishna conscious. Now, as things worked out, we didn't exactly do that, but Prabhupada focused more on book distribution.